Chapter 21.
See, I knew you'd win first prize.
Jack pecked a kiss on Lexi's nose as she fingered the silky blue ribbon she held in her hand, her chest swelling with pride. They walked hand in hand through the crowd at the Brook Ridge Falls Bicentennial Celebration. The smell of cotton candy and popcorn spiced the crisp fall air. Lexi pinned the ribbon to her lapel, then pulled her jean jacket tight to ward off the chill. Luckily, that bad review from Edgar Royce in the Sentinel didn't put any of the judges off, Lexi said.
That pompous ass? No one pays attention to his reviews anyway,
Jack scoffed.
It probably helped you win.
Do you see Nans and the girls? Lexi squinted into the crowd. She said they'd meet us here.
Yoo-hoo, Lexi!
Lexi turned to see Nans, Ruth, Helen, Ida, and Ida's fiancé, Norm, waving to them at the edge of the crowd. The four women looked like quadruplets with their matching tan trench coats, giant patent leather purses, and sensible shoes. She tugged Jack toward them. There you guys are. We were looking for you, Lexi said.
Oh, we've been here for a while,
Ruth answered.
We've already picked up some of Myra Biddeford's prize-winning jam,
Helen said, pulling a strawberry jam-filled glass jar with a red and white checkered ribbon around it from her purse.
And seen Miles O'Brien's fancy hens and roosters,
Ida said, then leaned toward Lexi and whispered in her ear.
I think Helen's kind of sweet on Miles.
And now we're ready to head to the beer tent,
Helen added.
Perfect. John and Cassier are supposed to meet us there, Jack said.
I've got the map right here.
Nans held out a pamphlet that showed a map of the Bicentennial Fairgrounds.
Now, if I could just figure out how to get there.
Where is it? Lexi looked over Nans' shoulder at the map.
The beer tent is here,
Nans pointed to a spot on the map.
I just don't know where we are.
I think we're here. Lexi leaned over and pointed, the ends of the blue ribbon fluttering on the map.
Oh, where are my manners?
Nans exclaimed.
You won first prize with the scones?
Lexi nodded, blushing slightly.
Congratulations,
everyone chorused, as Nans squeezed Lexi into a hug. Thanks, Lexi said. I'm just glad I was around to actually bake them. That was a close call in the sewer.
Well, thankfully that Kara Lee person won't be bothering you or taking business from your bakery anymore,
Nans answered.
So, what exactly did happen last night?
Ruth's brow creased as she looked at Jack.
I mean, how did Kara Lee and Victor find us in the sewer?
From the statements we got, it seems Kara Lee and her brother didn't know you had gone down to the sewer. She said she saw you leave through the front door,
Jack said.
That's right, Ruth replied. We went to Victor's, but then we went back to Lexi's after we got the key to open the door.
I saw her watching us, Lexi said. She must have seen us leave and didn't realize we came back.
Apparently Victor was watching too,
Jack continued,
because he saw Kara Lee and Harvey break into the cup and cake through the back. He already guessed they were after the money, so he simply followed them in. His plan was to capture all of you together, but Harvey surprised him in the basement, and Victor had to knock him out.
So, Victor is going to jail?
Nans asked.
Yep. Not only for what he did in the sewer, but also for his part in the 1948 robbery. He's just lucky he didn't kill Harvey, or he'd be getting a much stiffer sentence.
Justice has been served, Ida said. But I'm a little peeved. There was no reward for finding the stolen money.
Sorry about that.
Jack spread his hands.
That's up to the bank, not us.
One thing still bothers me, Ruth said.
What's that?
The ring Lexi found in the cup and cake after the first break-in. How did Victor steal that from Carolee?
Jack laughed. Victor was a pickpocket back in the day, so he had a whole bag full of tricks. Apparently, he had some way of slipping the ring off a person's finger without them noticing. He said he did it when he bought a muffin from her shop and they were exchanging the money.
That confirms what he told us in the tunnel, Helen said.
And Carolee and Harvey, are they going to jail? Lexi asked. Jack's face hardened.
Unfortunately, we don't have much to charge them with. Victor interrupted their plan to take the money and leave you guys in the sewer, so all we have is some minor charges. They'll probably get off with parole because the truth is, they never actually did anything wrong other than break into the bakery.
So Victor did them a big favor, Nan said.
Lexi made a face.
That hardly seems fair. Their whole bakery was a scam, and they did a lot of bad things. Not to mention, they were going to steal all the money and leave us for dead.
I know. Nan's rubbed Lexi's back soothingly. Let's just be glad they'll be leaving town, and we've seen the last of them.
Oh, I don't know if you've seen the last of them, a voice behind Nan said.
Lexi turned to see Watson Davies, decked out in a knee-length black leather jacket, over faded denim jeans, and black mid-calf boots. She had something bulky inside her jacket, but Lexi didn't have time to speculate. She was more concerned about why she said they hadn't seen the last of the Brewsters.
Why not?
Lexi wrinkled her face at Davies.
Just came from the station, and Carolee is pressing charges against the five of you for kidnapping and assault, Davies said.
Nan's, Ruth, Ida, Helen, and Lexi exchanged open-mouthed looks.
Are you serious? Lexi asked.
Davies half shrugged.
Yep. Well, I never, Helen said.
That sure does take the cake, Nan's added, no pun intended.
Surely they won't win, Lexi asked.
Will they?
Jack shook his head.
Of course not. They're just mad because their plans got ruined, and they're trying to get revenge.
Ruth snorted.
Yeah, by now, they figured they'd be sitting on top of a fortune, like a couple of fat cats.
Speaking of cats, Lexi said, I wonder what's going to happen to Victor's cat. I saw him out by the dumpster this morning when I went in to bake the scones, but he wasn't there when I left.
Oh, I think he'll be fine,
Davies said as she opened her jacket to reveal she had been holding the orange tiger cat the whole time.
Davies, you really do have a heart, Nan said.
Davies shrugged.
He was there by the dumpster crying when I went over to remove the crime scene tape, and I figured I could use him at my place to chase down the mice.
Well, it's good to see someone is getting something out of this whole mess, Jack said,
then turned to Nan's and the ladies.
I hate to say I told you so, but I think you all can agree. If you'd listened to me when I said you shouldn't go in the sewers, you'd have been better off.
Well, I don't know about that, Ida said indignantly. I don't think the real killer of Midas Mulcahy and the woman that was killed with him would have been uncovered, or the money from the bank robbery found.
Yeah, Nan said, then withered a bit under Jack's piercing look.
But you were right about it being dangerous.
Nan's looked back down at the map and then pointed to the left.
I think the beer tent is that way.
So you're going to listen to me from now on, right, Mona?
Jack asked.
What? Nan's turned to look at Jack. Oh, we'll listen. We promise to never go in the sewers again. Don't we, girls?
Of course, Ruth said.
Sure thing, Ida added.
You bet,
Helen agreed. Jack rolled his eyes, then draped his arm over Lexi's shoulders and turned in the direction Nans had pointed to earlier.
Come on then, ladies. Let's get to the beer tent. The least you can all do is to buy me a beer.
The end.